Eso sí.
Father, thank you for the time that you have. Thank you for the knowledge of your word. Thank you for the gift of the Spirit.
Lord, even as we get to your word to study, we receive revelation knowledge that is found in the written word this afternoon. Our eyes see you, Jesus, even as he sees us in himself. He is glorified as we are edified along the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
So, we are looking at pneumaticus. Actually, where we stopped,
that was section 9, but we're in section 10 now. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's look at a few things this morning. Matthew 28. Matthew 28 from verses 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, that's the word power, has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. Say, go ye therefore and make disciples, teach all nations rather, that's the word make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the world. Amen. Mark 16. Mark 16 from verses 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believe not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went everywhere, and they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we began looking at this, and then we said this will be the instructions of Jesus within the 40 days. Amen. This will be the instructions of Jesus within the 40 days. And in Luke will say Jesus taught them from the scriptures. Jesus taught from the scriptures. That implies those instructions will be instructions of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. And something we began to see within the past few days was on the fact that Jesus gave his disciples an assignment. This will be Jesus' assignment to his disciples. And we said it therefore becomes the primary assignment of the believer in the earth today. What is the primary assignment of the believer in the earth? To make disciples, make men students of God. And we said this assignment is one, we said it's primary, right? Hallelujah. I would say every other decision a man would take should be around this assignment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would revolve around it as a believer. No other decision you should take in life should be different from this, or should come second. This is the primary. Or no other decision you take in life should be primary. This is the primary that other decisions will revolve around. Hallelujah. So you build your life, your career, your ambition around this assignment. Your life and the totality of your being should be around it. You don't make it secondary. Hallelujah. So very vital for us as believers. We have a fact in the earth that actually is the primary assignment. Like yesterday during service, we're looking at the fact that to be in Christ, to be saved, is to have a purpose. Amen. So we have a purpose. So every other thing in life, every other decision you in life should be around that purpose. Hallelujah. And that purpose will be God's task in the earth. So we began looking at pneumaticals, which are our subject of discussion, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. It says, now concerning spirituals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. It says, ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away by this dumb idol, even as ye were led. Now, they told you verse 2 doesn't deal with us, right? But verse 1, it says concerning spirituals. And we said, when it says concerning spirituals, the background there to why he began to talk about spirituals will be First Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, up until chapter 11. Hallelujah. Will be the background. What was in the background? Paul said in chapter 3 verse 1, I couldn't speak to you as unto spirituals. Did you see that? I couldn't speak to you as unto spirituals. He said they were carnal. They behaved carnal. You know what I mean? And why did he say that they actually behaved carnal? He said where there is strife and envy. Did you see that? Strife and envy. So that means they walked in the flesh. Hope you are following me. They walked in the flesh. So, Paul, and walking in the flesh here, look at that chapter 11 verse 17. It says, when ye come together, I hear. Did you see that? When ye come together. So that means, this walking carnally was amongst their gathering. You see that? 1 Corinthians 11 verse 17. He said, now this I declare to you, I praise you not, that when you come together, it's not for the better, for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions. Do you see that? So that means within their gathering is what Paul is addressing. Their gathering. And they have divisions. They have strifes. They have factions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Paul, if you look at chapter 3, he said they were carnal, right? They walked as men. Chapter 5, they had the man who had the father's wife. Chapter 6, they took themselves to court. Chapter 7, they had marital issues that was now brought to church. Chapter 8, they had food sacrificed to idols. Chapter 8, they had people who were not that knowledgeable. And those who were knowledgeable, and then they shame others. Chapter 10, they had food sacrifice to idols. Chapter 11, they had factions, and they had, it was just everywhere. Amen. And Paul now comes in, and now says, concerning spirituals. So it therefore means, that the teaching of spirituals cut across all our relationships. I would say, well, you have the practice of the Spirit within the local church, all through scriptures, even from the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Even from the Old Testament, you see that. Hallelujah. Remember I told us that
my plan and my hope is come the next few, 4, 5, 6 years, we should be able to read the Old Testament books on its own.
And that is what we are driving towards. Maybe another year we begin to look at pneumaticals in the Old Testament books.
Amen. Amen. Well, you already see the relationships, right?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So Paul's response will bring in the fact that rather than have stripes, envy in the gathering, you should have spirituals. So have spirituals. So that means the practice of the Spirit is within the gathering.
Hallelujah.
And hallelujah. And that will be also, it brings to bear the fact that we have the Spirit in our midst, amongst us. Amen. It brings that to bear. That we have the Spirit amongst us. So Paul, when Paul says concerning spiritual, and he's dealing with the practice of the Spirit, practice of the things of the Spirit, or the practice of the Spirit, it makes you see that the Spirit is amongst us. Very vital. Like I've always said, and I'll keep saying, amen, that as the Spirit amongst us should be as loud as we are loud about the Spirit in us. Amen. It mustn't be lost on you that you have your Spirit amongst us. Hallelujah. I would say that consciousness of the Spirit amongst us will bring about one, a sense of reverence amongst ourselves. You will have to hear this all through this teaching. Amen. So you bring the sense of reverence amongst ourselves
in the gathering. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I have it like this. It brings a sense of reverence amongst ourselves and in the gathering. So you reverence one another, and also you reverence the gathering.
It also brings about the sense of the miraculous. The sense of the miraculous. It brings that to bear.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The miraculous. When we are gathered. Also, it brings about caution. Caution. Caution.
And number four, it brings to bear that God is leading us as a family. God is leading the church as a family. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So say, when you hear the Spirit with us, when you hear the Spirit with us, your mind goes to the Exodus. Hallelujah. Your mind goes to the Exodus, which carries the family fact. Your mind goes to the Exodus. When you hear the Spirit with us, Exodus, God led them by the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. This is not, amen. They had that tangible presence of God with them. The Son. Hallelujah. So they were conscious of the fact that God was with them. Moses will now illustrate it by giving them an ark. The ark was to show that God is with them. The ark, the tabernacle, was to show that God is with them.
Very right now.
Hallelujah. God is with them. So they had that consciousness. God wasn't in the ark, but it was showing them, showing that God was with them. Hallelujah. To the point that when the ark was taken away by the Philistines, they say God had left them. Do you understand me? But God said he was with them. Okay, follow me. To make you know how that consciousness, God was with them.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
That's how funny it would be. Even when they took the ark, something we're going to look in years to come, they thought God had left them. But yes, God has spoke to them to go for the ark. So if God has left today, how come he spoke to you? Because God was still with them. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Okay, follow me. It's a family fact. When when Jacob had the vision, he said, God was in this place and I did not know it. He called the place the family of God.
It shows you two things. That is Genesis chapter 28, quickly. Let's get to Genesis 28. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Now, look at verse 16. It said, Jacob awoke out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, how dreadful this place is. This is no other than the house of God and the gates of heaven.
Is that the house of God, the gates of heaven? How there is the family of God. He said God was in this place. So, God will be in the family. This is that.
Yes,
amen. So when we say the local church is where God's family, it means God is with us. But is it that? Amen. Once you hear the family fact, God's there. So you mustn't be lost on the church at all. That God is with us. Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 18 verse 20, he says, when two or three are gathered in my name. Did you see that? Gathered in my name. Say, there am I in the midst of them. Hope you're following me. There am I in the midst of them. So God is in our midst. God is in the assembly of his children. Hope you are hearing me. God is in the assembly of his children. Very vital. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So we said God will lead us as a family first. We said that. So as with that family fact, God is the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is the Father.
Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah.
God is the Father. So he leads us as the Father. And he leads us through the local church. Hope you're following. Hallelujah. So very right, and God will lead us as a family. So any other leading that is different from how God is leading the local church, leading this family through the local church, is not God's, it's not God's leading. Hallelujah. You know, it's just like someone. Actually, when I congratulated the president-elect, now going to be president of Nigeria today, amen, and I said congratulations on your election. So, someone quickly responded to me, a friend of mine. He said, sir, that is wrong. I said, what is wrong about it? A friend of mine, he says wrong. And my question was, what's wrong about it? He said, no, that he's telling me because God, he knows that God is inspiring him to tell me. This is that. He said, God is inspiring him to tell me. I said, no. God isn't inspiring you to tell me anything. Amen? And even I said to him that I didn't need to go meet anybody to know that God didn't ask you to do what you're doing. He says, no, God, so you're saying God didn't tell me anything. Amen?
Yeah.
Glory to God. Mm-hmm. I don't need God to let me know that you're lying. You know, today, when people want to tell a lie, when people want to tell a lie, they will just sugarcoat it with God on top so that you don't say any other thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But it is just a blunted lie. I hope you're following me. It's just a blunted lie. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Just a blunted lie. You don't need God, you don't need anybody to tell you that what someone is saying that is not how God is leading the local church is a lie. You don't need anyone to tell you that. So the question you ask yourself is, how is God leading my local church? That is how God is leading. Hallelujah. So that means if God is leading your local church to have a prayer meeting, and you say, God led me and I should go for evangelism, that's not God that led you. Hope you're hearing me. That's not God that led you.
Amen. Your local church is being led to have evangelism. Say God is leading you to go and pray in tongues.
No.
No. Amen. God is not the author, neither is he found in confusion. He doesn't bring confusion. He leads us as his family. And one way you see is in the Exodus. The moment you find people want to lead themselves outside how God is leading them through Moses, it will start rebellion. Did you see that? Rebellion. So when you find such in the local church, just know it's not God. No, it's not God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God leads us through the local church. And very vital. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
It's through the local church.
So, like I said, look at what Paul say in 2 Thessalonians, quickly. 2 Chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 14. It says, if any man obey not our words, did you see that? Obey not our words by this epistle, not that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Did you see that?
Hallelujah. So, and he was referring to, who was dealing with idleness here? And he said, anyone, he said, you will not those who doesn't obey these. That means God is leading him. Do you understand me? Now they are led in a certain direction. Anyone that doesn't obey is what? Rebellious. So you note them. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
glory to God. Okay, very vital. So you should know when one is walking in rebellion in the local church. Hope you're following me.
Also, how God leads the local church also, it can also go down to, we're going to sit with all this. It also goes down to meeting times. People that time for church service. Time you have teaching meeting. Time you have maybe a Bible seminar. Church meeting, and you don't find people there, and they tell you, oh, they were led not to come. You know, some word men can be very crazy. Say they were led not to come. Can you not be led to go to your church service? That is rebellion. That is subtle rebellion. Amen. Very subtle.
They're very vital. So last time we said, if you look at 1 Timothy 3:15. 1 Timothy 3:15. Paul to Timothy. Paul will say, verse 15. He says, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, family of God, right? Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So we say we have what is called family behavior. How we ought to behave ourselves.
There's a way we ought to behave, conduct ourselves as believers.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And as I began to look at how to behave in the gathering. Hallelujah.
How do we behave in the gathering? And we said, one, we will first of all find out what do we have in the gathering, right? What do we have in the gathering? When we are gathered, what do we have in the gathering? I was said, last week, we said, what we have in the gathering are believers, right?
Yes, sir.
Believers, saints, the same identity. And the background also will be the Exodus. Hallelujah. They were delivered together. This that they were delivered together. They are men of the same, they had the same encounter, the same experience rather. They had the same experience. So they were delivered together. So the local church will be men of the same identity. That's why we use the word, that is why they are called brethren. Adolphus, from the same source. You see that? From the same source. The same source. Hallelujah. The same source. So, I would say, one way you know that two people are brothers in their world is that you will eat together, right? Mm-hmm. You will eat together. So, they brought it to the church. Amen? They brought it to the church. So, they ate together to show that we are really brethren. We are accepted. We are one. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And last time, I showed us that the major reason why Paul will rebuke Peter when he was eating with the Gentiles and saw the Jews coming. Bible says, Paul said he quickly washed his hands so that they look as if he wasn't eating with the Jews. To show that he is not accepting the Gentiles rather because of the Jews. Do you see that? And Paul came at him. And why would Paul come at him? Because that is actually the essence of Christ's suffering and death. Essence of Christ's resurrection. That the believers will be united as one. So that is a denial. Amen. It's a denial. Glory to God. So the way they ate was a symbol to show that. But what was supposed to show to them that we are one was actually what they now had divisions over. To show you, it was just an illustration. The real thing there should be what? Spiritual. Did you see that? Hallelujah.
Hope you're following me.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
So therefore, if we are brethren, adopters from the same source, it's therefore very vital that we treat ourselves or we handle ourselves well. The way we behave to one another becomes very, very important. And that is the reason why Paul said there shouldn't be strife. There shouldn't be envy. There shouldn't be divisions. Because we are one. I shouldn't have a preferential treatment for A and leave B and C aside. No. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. We are one. There should be no faction. There should not be my clique. No, there's no clique in church. So last time I told us, you should be careful. Be careful of when there are people in church you cannot talk to. You cannot approach. Be careful. When I mean talk to, I mean approach. You cannot at all. And either due to superiority consciousness or inferiority consciousness. Or superiority complex or inferiority complex. You shouldn't have people in church that you cannot talk to. I remember growing up. Sunday school, children, child, girl. There were people as children that we couldn't talk to. Either because when everybody is going home, they are sitting inside car. You couldn't talk to them. They are big men children. And there are people too we couldn't talk to because they were too dirty. Okay, well, lady. So there are people we can't talk to because they were big men children. Their fathers are elders in church. In fact, even if you want to talk to them, they're not going to talk to you. Because your father is not an elder. They're not going to talk to you. Your father didn't bring you to church with car. You trekked. You used your leg at his bed. So after church you see association of children whose fathers have cars. They'll go and stay at block M. Outside church, they gather. They speak fake Queen's English. Why those who are bad children speak broken? We just gather ourselves together. We can't even go to talk to them. If you want to go talk to them, you're going to form. People like me that don't know how to form. No, there's no need. No need for the talk. German, German will go. Yeah? Or those who can form, we're going to stand too. My father has this kind of care. What am I doing that for? I'm a samurai. I don't know how to do that. That was them too. Yeah? I don't know how to do all this nonsense. So everybody just mind your lane. Even how we would sit in class. With children, know how we sit in class. Barak Children Association is like towards the back, to the left. So people whose fathers are rich men sit in front. The kind of clothes they wear, you only wear it on Christmas Day. Amen. So you just allow them to sit in front. So you just sit at the back, don't worry. Don't worry. Amen. So, come on. There's no division. Even among children, we don't have boys and girls, Sharia, in church. Boys to one side, girls to one side. No! Amen. No! Fathers in Sharia, in church. There should be no division. Along any line, there should be no division. Even amongst children, there should be no division. Hope you hear me. Now go to main church. Call main church. You don't have the men's side and the women's side. You don't find men in the women's side. You don't find women in the men's side. Funny. But it's not supposed to be.
Hallelujah.
Even amongst the parents, you discover that those who always the elders, they are destined for eldership. That those who just be a part of committee, ad hoc committee, in charge. Separation and division. Yeah? They have businessmen fellowship within church.
No. Hallelujah.
There should be no separation, there should be no division along any line. You know, the most subtle one is along ethnic lines. No, you shouldn't have it among ethnic lines. Amen? Among ethnic lines. Don't. You know, Satan plays a long game with us. He plays a long game. Make sure when you begin to see ethnicity, as a pastor, he cautioned me. Someone asked me, is St. Pavilion Church a Yoruba church or an Igbo church? And I was laughing. He said, I just said, can't you hear the name? Saints. Be careful. Be careful. Amen. Be careful. Amen. We sing Christian song. We sing Christian song in English. If we know the Greek song we sing. We sing Yoruba, we sing Igbo. Amen. I don't know any Hausa for now, apart from Jesu Yanana. Amen. I don't know any Hausa for now. But if I have a good Hausa song, I'll sing. Hallelujah. So don't be divided along ethnic lines. Come on. Don't be. We're having cultural day. Don't try it. In church. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So don't allow that. When people talk to our university. And then when people are having conversations, I've heard this a whole lot. Some people will say, guys, I don't like Igbo guys. Guys, I don't like Yoruba people. They are always, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Even softly in the office. Softly among colleagues, among friends. You have such kind of conversation, just stay away from it.
Amen. Just make sure you stay away from it. Satan plays a long game.
Hallelujah. Hope you're here. Satan plays a long game.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So you should be careful of strife.
So look at what I have. I say a believer who has strife with other believers is not wise.
Division strife. Any believer who has strife is not wise. It's not wise. Satan has got an estate on that person. Strife.
Now I'm beefing that sister.
Sure, all right. Is it? Be careful.
Say, you are envious. See, let me tell you something. There is something that I never allow at all. Even by mood, by talking, or by action. Is I don't allow any sin. I don't think there's anything anybody could achieve monetarily that would get me envious. Why? I don't allow sin. I'm not competing with anybody. Competing for what? You see, in the world, that's what I told you. We're going to get there. Do we have what is called Christian values? Family values. See, it is not moral. On different fronts, I could, when you bring up the believer's values and place it alongside morals, it will beat down morals. Why? Because morals is subject to change by generation. You know, in our world today, it is not too wrong to compete. Open all that. There's nothing wrong when you compete. You say, I'm just trying to get better by competing. Hope you know that. That's why when someone is not doing 100 hours, another person the next day say wants to beat 100 hours of cooking. Come on, competing. And you know what? Societally, it is. There's nothing wrong with it. Okay, yeah, there's nothing wrong. He did 100. It was not somebody that did 85 and you came to beat 100. Who told you I cannot beat you? I beg, don't worry, I'll beat it next week. That's what that means. There's nothing wrong competing. But you know what? As a believer, you don't do that. Hallelujah. You want to look at another person, another believer, I want to compete with the person. Hallelujah. Amen. You look at someone, look at another church, I want to compete with that church. No. Is an empty race. You don't do that. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Because that brother now has iPhone 14. And you're the one that introduced him to iPhone. He was using Andy. You know what Andy? Andy. Android. Andy is not Samsung. Andy is
Tecno.
Andy.
So Android is Samsung. Andy, are you saying Andy? Not even normal Andy, Andy PA. Techno PA. Room 15. And so when I introduced you, the person I introduced to you is using iPhone. Okay, iPhone 8 Plus. I introduced you to iPhone. And you just started using iPhone 14. The person has got envious. The person begins to save his life saving to buy for sin. No, it's a stupid race. Really, it's a stupid race. You shouldn't live like that as a believer. And what Paul would say, be content. So contentment is a family virtue. Be content. Be content as a believer. Contentment. Many times, many people need to learn that. It's a virtue. Be content. Why are you chasing clouds? Just chasing clouds everywhere. Hallelujah. Chasing clouds everywhere.
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
was beaten. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Is he Arsenal Man City? No. What's wrong?
Man was even doing that.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So contentment is a family virtue.
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Because when your man is not content, you begin to have strife, envy. I can't get it.
Now, because you're chasing someone and your person is getting it and you can't get it, you just go to necessarily angry.
Next morning.
We're playing ball.
You know, for those of you who don't know, I play ball.
So we're playing ball in our team. We used to have a very good striker. So for a while, he stopped coming to train with us. So we now had another new striker who was hearing of the old striker. And the new striker is good. In fact, he plays like Erling Haaland. It was very good. It was very good. So he was hearing about this old guy. And one day the old guy then came for training. Do you understand? So the new guy was substituted. Come and rest. So the old guy was playing. And me, I was on the bench too because I was a substituted. So I discovered something. When the old guy holds the ball and loses the ball, what he will do is, like, you know, reach there. Was feeling himself. Amen? Mm-hmm. Was feeling himself. So, at another point, the old striker, the one before him, took the ball, dribbled two people and scored. And he was angry. The same thing, oh. What I want, and I called him. He said, "Come. Why are you angry?" He said, no, I said, "I saw you." But like what? I said, right from when he lost the ball, yeah, he did like this, that, you know, reach. Now you're angry because he scored. I'm like, no, I didn't know you noticed me. I said, "I noticed you." We're in the same thing. No matter what, make sure you know that. Yeah? Both of you are going to play together. But we are going to play together to strike us. So make sure you know that. Who's competing here? Why are you competing? It's not that we have 10 strikers and want to choose one. That you now have to kill yourself. There are just two, one of you. Nobody's dragging 9 and 9 for me. Who cares to wear 9 and 9 together is your own business. What are you being in the game of play? So what's the problem?
Okay,
so why are you competing? I said, "Oh, thank you, sir. Come on.
Because that will start breathing, you'll not be praying. Let him just slide his leg. Let him just break.
Come on.
That is evil thoughts. Some people are like that too. Christians! Somebody is coming with his phone. What new phone? New phone fresh. How will you buy 500,000? I said, "Wow." Your wow is let it just enter water. You are a demon. Just enter water. No. Why are you doing that? Envy. Envy. A brother in church just got brand new car. In fact, they called you to come and help remove the nylon. And you guys are moving really your heart. You're just like, let it just have a second. Let it just... Come on! Envy! Don't allow it to stay. And you have to say, bro, God bless you. What kind of car is it? This is lovely. But in your heart. In your heart. Let it just have an accident. Uh-huh. You now have an accident and it is now scattered. Okay, your brother too now had the accident and died. You now be crying. Come on. Don't be like Judas. Judas allowed Satan get into him because of man and perfume. Because of perfume. Perfume that will smell and finish. You don't know. That's the pastor box. We have no lovely ointment. But when that ointment lasts for maximum, it will last. As in maximum 1 week. we will not facilitate again. Abi? Abi? Satan now entered into you. You now went to betray.
You see that? That anger. And why did he get angry?
Because when he complained, he said, we'll have used it to buy funds, and Jesus rebuked him. Just rebuke. Rebuke. So what is your own? That's what is your Satan. What's he trying to say? Is he trying to what is that?
Got anger.
He felt he had been replaced. Well, actually he was replaced in act. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
So that means an attitude you mustn't have, just like Judas, is what? Entitlement culture also. Entitlement culture. The believer mustn't have an entitlement culture in church. Entitlement culture. Some people are like that. Notice me. That sense of entitlement. Am I like that? If it is not me, it's not going to be anybody. Come on. What can I do without you? Hope you hear me. Hope you hear me. God can. You're the one who can do without him. You must learn to know that. Glory to God. Learn to know that. They came telling the disciples to stop singing, and Jesus, if they don't sing, how will they stop? So stop that entitlement culture that people have in church. I'm the only one. Sorry to say, who the hell are you? Yeah. Who are you? All you have entitlement called. You shouldn't be. That when you are not the one called upon, you get angry. You get angry. Pastor didn't come in to lead song. You are angry. Because of that, it's not coming to church. Let me borrow somebody's word. Oh, we allow you for you. Oh, maybe. Sorry, yo. Because they did not call you to lead song. Sorry. Angelic voice. We have seen you. Just stop. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Don't have an entitlement culture. Don't be Judas. Don't be Judas. So why did that pastor, I was not the one that pastor gave that gift to? Who are you? Angel of his presence? Your pastor should have consulted me as what? Secretary to heaven. No. Don't do that. Hallelujah. Yeah. Sometimes it could be very subtle. You just get to level 3 angry. Entitlement. Pastor did not notice me. Did not notice me. Maybe, for example, people celebrated my birthday and then Pastor was not giving vote of thanks. Not mentioned Garuba, not mentioned Victim. And then, now forgot to mention Kubi. Kubi now gets angry. And say, am I not the minister in the body of Christ? Come on. That is an enlightenment call. In fact, you will fall under and direct ministers here. At least take it. You have been mentioned somehow. Amen.
Yeah.
Don't get enlightenment. He didn't call my name. He didn't even notice me.
No.
Hallelujah. Don't do that. Entitlement culture is not good. Hallelujah. So we'll dwell a bit on some virtues that are not in the culture, that shouldn't be found amongst us as believers. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let's go further. So, another that we shouldn't have is that attitude of selfishness. We should not seek our own. People are like that. Self-seekers. We should not seek our own. Self-seekers. Selfishness. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Selfishness. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
like we said, we have what we call family or church behavior. So one of it is you don't seek your own.
Hallelujah.
You know, in the world today, what is obtainable in the world today is what you call self-love. Self-love. So now here, there's another one apart from self. Okay, self-love. So one way you show your self-love, you now go and take picture under sun and say sun kiss. Nonsense. Amen. Sun kiss. You know the sun kiss. So self-love is actually selfishness. It's just rebranding it. And that is not morals. It's a love yourself. That's morals. Love yourself. The best thing, the only thing you do is to love yourself. It's not a motivation. Love yourself. Love yourself. Hello. You came to this life alone. People say that, kill your life alone. So, I will die alone. What about those who died in aircraft? Do you die alone? You die alone. You will be buried alone. You will go face judgment alone. So, it's going to be you alone, alone, alone. So, love yourself. Self-love.
No.
Amen. Though you were born alone, but you're not the only one born on that day. And you're born into a family. Hallelujah.
Okay, well,
so there's nothing called self-love. There's nothing called that's selfishness. Hallelujah. Like I shared to us, when Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, when he said, love your neighbor as yourself, it doesn't mean, I know several people have changed that. They say, love your neighbor as yourself, meaning you cannot love your neighbor beyond yourself. You cannot, Jesus also teaches self-love. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So you love yourself. Amen. Love yourself. Don't love your neighbor. I mean, don't love your neighbor above yourself. Right? Don't love your neighbor above yourself. So self-love first. No. You are twisting scripture. And the first person that twisted scripture is the devil. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So you better know. When Jesus says love your neighbor as you love yourself, it means you take away the love from yourself and put it on your neighbor. Amen? That's what it means. Love your neighbor as yourself. So the love that should be accrued to yourself is not what you give to your neighbor. And when you give that to your neighbor, you don't have anyone there.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And the perfect example will be Jesus. Hope you're hearing me. If Jesus had self-love, he wouldn't kill himself for men. Hope you know that. But that self-love, he took it away from himself and put it on us.
Hallelujah.
That is, so when you say love your neighbor as yourself, we've been sacrificial. It's sacrificial. That means the local church is a place where we are sacrificial. We love the brethren. We love the brotherhood. Hope you hear me. We love the brethren. We love the brotherhood. Christianity, the local church is a brotherhood.
Someone said one time, you guys, is it at your church? Okay.
Let me just share something before I say the other one. I posted something yesterday congratulating the president, whose inauguration is today, right?
Yes,
right?
Yes,
I did not forget. I know. Has it been done? It's concluded. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So,
love. So when I put that, people now came to my page and they were fighting themselves. Two of my bosses, and they were hitting themselves hard. One quoted scripture, and the other one said, "You know, even the devil quotes scriptures." Not about me, but so they were now hitting themselves. One young guy, that was on the bill, Ruben.
I called his name.
That came to my page and said, "Sir, is it that God did not answer our prayer or we did not pray well?" I don't know how to answer. He said, "You're lying to me." He said, "Sir, tell you something. Is it that God did not answer our prayer? Or we did not pray well? I don't know whether that says, sir, maybe you should personalize it. Because I don't have to answer that one. I just left it. So whenever I get, if I was there earlier or before Saturday, I'm just laughing. It's just today. When I get there, I'm just laughing. You know, it's funny. Hallelujah.
This guy should just... And now for it to rest another 8 years, then we'll come back again.
Amen.
Amen.
So where were we?
The culture is a brother.
Yeah, it's a brother. So, okay, I wanted to say something before I diverted. So someone said, is this at a church? Is that when he saw some churches behave as if they are a cult? That church is not a cult. Church is just who come to worship God and say no. If you understand what the church actually is, it's a brotherhood. It's a brotherhood. It's beyond a cult. It's stronger than a cult. What about you? It's a brotherhood. You know, in cult, those cults, they call it a brotherhood. It's beyond a, it's a brotherhood. We're from the same source. That's why it works. Hallelujah. The same source. You see, at that at some point, they couldn't differentiate between Jesus and his disciples. Is that serious? Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. Mm-hmm. At some point, they wanted to kill Paul. What did the church do? They protected him. That they took. They wanted to kill Paul. You read the Bible. They protected him and they took him out of the city. Guys, brother. He didn't say, that is him, he's here. He was the one that used to kill. I used to kill Christians before. He's here. At some other point, they stoned him. The Bible says he was taken as dead. And what happened? The brethren came and surrounded him. They surrounded him. And they went around him. And they took him off. They took him off, washed him. They didn't neglect him. Like even if they could. But to me, it's beyond the court. Hallelujah. We're a family. We're a union. We're one. So selfishness should not have a place in the local church at all. No selfishness. Hallelujah. It must be what? Brotherly love. Brotherly love. What I would call brotherly love. Brotherly love. You know, some people think brotherly love is just brother, sister, at home. No. Many people, when they hear brotherly love, they take it to how they felt they were brought up. No. Brotherly love is the brother. Hallelujah. It's the brotherhood. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
It's the brotherhood. That means I would discomfort myself for my brother. My brother's pain becomes my pain. His joy is my joy. His pain is my pain. That is what the local church is.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That means we must bear each other in mind all the time. All the time. Philippians 2 verse 3. Philippians 2 verse 3. Yeah. Philippians chapter 2 verse 3. What do you say there? It says, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. Did you see that? Strife of vain glory. Did you see that?
Yes,
is this in the gathering? Is this in the gathering?
Yes.
So he's warning them in the gathering. Let not be done through strife of vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Is this working in the spirit? Is that pneumaticus? Esteem others better than themselves. That is to say, you must have others in mind. Hallelujah. Have others in mind. Therefore, Paul,
hope you are following me.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 8, we'll be here earlier. 1 Corinthians 8, we're going to look at that side by side 10 now. 1 Corinthians 8, we'll now see.
This is verse 12. But when ye sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, what did you do? You sin against Christ. That humiliating thing.
You see that with Christ.
When Jesus will say, if any one of you will make these little ones to sin,
he says, it's better a millstone is turned around your neck and thrown into the ocean.
Obviously seeing that.
Paul picks that. And he said, when you sin against the brethren, by wounding their weak conscience. First of all, he told us that knowledge profits all. Right? He says we are knowledgeable about things.
Hallelujah. But now says, look at verses 8. Okay, some of verse 6. 4, rather. As concerning therefore the eating of those things which are offered in sacrifice to idols, we know that an idol is nothing. Mark that. That an idol is nothing will come in there. An idol is nothing in the world. And there is no other God but one. Take note of what is called an idol. An idol is nothing. Is that? For though they be, I mean, though they are that are called gods, whether in heaven or in the earth, there be many gods and lots many. Is that? He differentiated the gods from the idol. Very vital, something you should see. He says, idol is nothing but there be many gods. Is that? But to us there is but one God. Right? The Father of whom are all things, in him, and the Lord Jesus Christ by whom are all things, and we by him. Happy, there's not this in every man that, I mean, happy, there's not in every man that knowledge. For some with the conscience of idol, unto this hour, eat it as sin offered to idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. So he has told that an idol is nothing. You see that? An idol is nothing. But that consciousness is not in every man. Do you see that? That consciousness is not in every man. So he now says, if I go ahead and eat food sacrifice to idol, I know when I know that my brother's conscience is weak, say, what do? I offend my brother. I make him to sin. Do you see that? And what happens?
I sin against Christ.
Hope you're following that.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So that means I must bear. So look at what that says in verse 13. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Do you see that?
I eat no flesh. So that means I must bear in mind the brethren. Hope you are following me.
Okay,
I must bear in mind the brethren in my decisions, in my attitude. Hope you're following me. That is why when somebody asks you, as a believer, can you work in a tobacco producing company? Is it wrong? Is it a sin? It's not a sin. But you know what? If that will make my brother to get offended, I will not work there. Do you see that? Even if they're going to pay me billions, I can't work there as a pastor. I can't. Do you see that? Not because if I work there, I'm going to be a sinner. But for the sake of brethren. Did you see that? Hallelujah. For the sake of the brethren. I can't. Hope you're following me.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
I get nothing wrong. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm walking in the morning and smoking. You're not smoking, eh? No. Amen. So that means in my decisions in life, I must bear in my mind the brethren. When I mean the brethren, I'm not talking about believers in the whole world. I'm talking about what?
The local church.
What are you following me?
Yes.
Local church. But there will be new converts. I don't know. Okay.
Hope that's clear. Let's look at something else in 1 Corinthians 10, where we've always wanted to get to and we never got there. Let's see how if we can run it off. 1 Corinthians 10 on verses 16. It says the cup of blessing. I need your attention here. Say the cup of blessing which we bless.
Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Hallelujah. He's not saying that they are doing holy communion.
Because some people said that, hey, Paul said they are doing holy communion. But something about the food, you have to understand the context. The food that they eat, so they bless it. He said, that's not supposed to be a communion with the body of Christ. This is that our fellowship in what Christ has done. This, hope you are hearing me.
Okay, we was referring to food then. It now says, for we being many are one bread. Back now. We being many are one bread. So he changes the narrative. Did you see that? He said, we be many and one bread. So that is the gathering. He brings in the gathering. He said, we be many and one bread. And one body. Did you see that? For all are partakers of that one bread. So he's trying to let them see that we're all partakers of that one bread. And that will be in the gathering. So he changes the gathering. And he said, changes it and said, our gathering in Christ is the one bread. Did you see that? Our gathering in Christ is the one bread. 18. Behold, Israel after the flesh are not they which eat of the sacrifices, partakers of the altar. Watch that. I take it again. Behold, Israel after the flesh, which is Israel as a nation. Is that? It says, are not they which eat of the sacrifices, partakers of the altar? That is to say, he that eats of the sacrifice is part of the altar. So he now says, our gathering is what we are part of, what the communion table of Christ. Did you see that?
Yes, sir.
Hope I follow you.
Yes, sir.
So we are part of the altar. I need you to see what is going here. He's changing a very important narrative. He now says, what say I then? That the idol is anything, or what is offered to in sacrifice to idol is anything? Did you see that? Remember, he has said before that an idol is nothing. He's repeating it here again. Is an idol anything? Or what is sacrifice to idol is anything? Now, when you use the word idol there, is the word idolon. E-I-D-O-L-O-N. Idolon. Is the word used for an object of worship. An object of worship. Object of worship. So when you use the word nothing in chapter 8, an idol is nothing, it means it is worthless. Worthless. So he's saying the idol, the object of worship here, is worthless. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said. He said that idol is worthless. Hope you're following me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Look at what he now said. Now said, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. Now he changes that. Now, first of all, he said an idol is nothing. He now said the things which is Gentile sacrifice. When he used the word sacrifice there, the sacrifice of the Gentiles, Gentiles will be the ungodly, right? Right? So the sacrifice there will be their service, their worship. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Their festivals, the things is Gentile sacrifice, festivals, worship, service, so they sacrifice it to who? Idols. Sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So, he said they sacrifice to devils. Now, take note, the sacrifice is not to idols, it's to devils. Hope you are following me.
Yes, sir.
Idols are objects of worship. Well, what they sacrifice is not to idols, but to devils. Amen. They are not worshipping the idols. That's what he's saying. The sacrifice of the Gentiles is not to idols. Idols are objects of worship. They are worthless. They are dummies. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
They are dummies. But what they worship and they make sacrifices to is to devils. So you have to separate those two. Hallelujah. They make sacrifices to devils, not to dummies. They make sacrifices to spirit beings, to spirit. So when you use the word fellowship, say, I will know that you have fellowship here. He was talking about activities. Is that fellowship with devils? You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. The cup of the Lord is what? Union with the Lord. You see that? The cup of the Lord is union with the Lord. Identification, fellowship with one another. You can have fellowship with one another, identification with God, and then with devils. You see that? Have activities with devils. He now says, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? So we can be identified with the Lord and be identified with the devil.
Hope you're following me.
Yes, sir.
Hope you're following me.
Yes, sir.
You're serving God and then you're not serving the devil. Now he's talking about worship now. Worship. So what is the difference between this and what Paul said in chapter 8? Paul was talking about food sacrifice eating, and here he's talking about worshiping itself. The very worship. He says, first of all, the idol is nothing. But for you to know, the Gentiles don't actually worship the idol that you see. They worship the devil. That's why Pastor Sheldon will say, the idol or a shrine is not the physical shrine. No, a shrine is in a man. Okay, believe me. Those things are just rubber babies. You don't mean anything. You told it to shock you. That's electricity. Instead they connected the wire at the back. What is shock? It's too much in Hollywood. Amen? Glory to God. Those are mere dummies. So, listen to me. So, Paul is saying, when you see them do those sacrifices to idols, those dummy babies, say, no, don't miss it now. Right? Don't miss it now. That dummies are nothing. But that service that they do is not to those dummies. This is that it's to devils. Paul isn't contradicting himself. He says it's to devils. All those dogs, are just robbers. Who are following me? They're just robbers. It's to devils. So let's go ahead. Let's see what he's saying. Hallelujah. Verse 23. Oh, sorry, 22. We don't provoke the Lord to jealousy. I was talking about him. He said, all things are lawful to me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but not all things, I mean all things edify not. Let not a man seek his own. Did you see that?
Yes, sir.
But every man another's wrong. So the same thing we say, must bear in mind the brethren. So whatever is sold in the shambles. You know what it's called shambles?
Meat market. So that means I was telling you all years back. Can you see? It's not today that it started. You know, before they kill any cow with the meat market, so some of you don't know. If you have to do some sacrifices. Guys don't know. Just buy it. They do some incantations. A place is my job has taken me to. In the morning, when you go to where they kill, all the abattoirs in the morning. They must be. Can you just kill the cow? No, it didn't just start now. 7 years back. Even from times of four. So but whatever I sell is shambles. Shambles are actually meat market. Yeah? He said you should. Whatever I sold there, so you have a disclaimer to it. Don't say, I'm not gonna say me. It's like rising to them. Paul says, think about Paul. He says, whatever is sold in the shambles, he says, you eat asking no questions for conscience sake. Hear that? Conscience doesn't say, demons. They have known since I'm eating me, if I now like me to be more. Yeah? I mean, I knew of this around 2014. I was like, you for me? Yeah. Yeah! I showed somebody that, okay, this is in Bible study. This is not just start today, not just in Nigeria, all over the world. They may ask no question for conscience sake. Use that, watch that for conscience sake. Jesus says, for the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Now, verse 27. It says, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, Come here, follow me. He says, and ye be disposed to go. Whatever he said before you eat, ask no questions for conscience sake. Did you see that? For conscience sake. So is it my conscience? We are going to see whether it's your conscience.
For conscience, there's not any question.
There's a yes. Is it a liar, or is
it? That goes around. You people do sacrifice. What is your business? You know, I'm just asking for my conscience sake. Is your conscience not better? Better if you don't ask any question.
Come on, don't be stupid.
You know what Paul answered? Now, listen. I'm not going to deal with this now.
Even I'm not going to deal with this now. So I'm going to deal with it
years and years to come. Because I know this issue is going to rise up again. Even I've heard people say demons can live in animals.
We're going to deal with all these things in years to come.
Yeah. I said a bit about this years back. Well, I guess I didn't say it well. I guess I'm going to deal with it very well.
There's not just because you're taking it, you're eating demons. And you say you have the life of God in you. And you say you have Zuri. And you say you have the Spirit of God in you. And you say you are eating demons.
Sometimes there,
some people's rhema used to shock me.
Where is rhema? Hallelujah.
Let's go ahead. Is it conscience? He said in verse 20, if any man say to you, did he suffer the sacrifice of idols? It's not for his sake. Did you see that? For his sake that showed it. And for the conscience sake, for the earth of the Lord and the fullness thereof. He's still saying that. And that will be earth of the Lord, that will be Psalm 24. We're going to deal with that subsequently because of time. Amen. Conscience, I say, not thy own. Because you know they are knowledgeable. Is that is a conscience? No, no, they don't.
Hallelujah.
But it now says, but the other, not your own, but the other, meaning for the other believer. It now says, for why is my liberty judged with another man's conscience? Is that? That is my liberty in Christ. Like I told you in church. Okay, on Thursday I said, well, yet liberty. Liberty does not mean you should be doing anything. That is the word liberty. Amen. Liberty means you're under control. That's what liberty is. You are guided. That is liberty. Amen. So why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? Hallelujah. For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of? For that which I give thanks. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at verse 32. Very vital. It says, give no offense, neither to the Jew, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
33. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that may be saved. You see that?
Yes,
so therefore, the Christian life in the local church is, I must always seek the good of others, discomforting myself in seeing others well. I must learn to do that. To discomfort myself to ensure that others get well, that others are okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Amen.
Something we're going to see shortly. I guess I have to take this out now. Bring it back some other time. Okay. So because I consider my brother.
Yes, sir.
Because of how I also consider my brother, I will not take my brother to court. Even on natural affairs. In 1 Corinthians 6, look at 1 Corinthians 6, they took themselves to court. When they had issues.
And it also involves natural affairs. You just think yourself, oh,
no, I will not say, no, we're going to tribunal. Ah, no, it's tribunal. Ah! No.
Amen.
Tribunal, no, ah! No, we must get to the root of this matter. I will use, somebody, I heard someone say, I will use 2 million to chase 20,000. To show you. You know, that is wickedness. Use 2 million to chase 20,000, because when you run 20,000, you want to use 2 million, that will drop anything. Ah! I must see that you end up in bad. I didn't know you had to speak in tongues. You can't speak in tongues inside cricket. That is crazy. That's Jesus. You come to church, everyone will believe in you in church. You. That will show you. Believers. Don't do that. Hallelujah. Don't do that. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I bet someone said something like this. He said something like this, that believers should learn to avoid doing business. Believers should learn to avoid doing business with believers. They don't do business with believers. If they don't even do it, don't believe us. Then you have to, now when you want to deal with them, deal with them. I'm asking you to say that. The believer should not do business with believers. That's very pathetic. How can you say that? That if the business don't come go click, they're going to do bro for you. Very pathetic. Very pathetic word. Because in scriptures, you will find out that Paul will write to servants how they should address their masters who are believers. That means we can have relationship in natural affairs. We can get into business. Like I work for a believer. And then not do what? Not. And then working for a believer, I will not take the believer. Okay, some people work for believers and then I'm taking for granted. You're working for another person 1 week before you go on leave, you apply for leave. Because you're working with your pastor in church. Your pastor in church. And you know next week is believers convention. Now come and be pastor 2 days. Pastor, sir, I won't be around for 2 days. I won't be around for 3 days. Say, where are you going to? Say, pastor, don't you know? Believer's convention now. Believer's convention now. You are not believing. You are taking it for granted. Pastor, we have prayer retreat now. You said there's prayer retreat June. So what about the assignment that is to do, sir? Pastor, after prayer retreat, I'll do it. You are taking it for granted. Amen. Pastor asks you to go and do something. Yeah. And I'm listening to message. Because you are a woman. Not listening to message. And what are you doing? I love how Father Shevi puts it some days back. He said, Pastor, I'm listening to you. How? I gave you an assignment to do this. No, I'm listening to you, sir. That is you I'm listening to, sir.
That is you, sir. Look at you. I'm listening to you.
I will suck you. Me, I will suck you. Because I'm listening to you. Then you are listening. Yeah, some people are like that. They want to take you for granted. They want to take you for granted. Paul will now warn. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Whilst there are the other people, the dissonance is between, in and talks, now speaks to the master.
Listen.
Don't cheat the brethren that work with you. See, render to them due benevolence. What is due for them? See, because they are working for you. You know you're supposed to pay them 13th month. You don't pay them. Because you're having giving in church. 10K. Everybody don't give 20K. Now can't leave all your members are in church. Their salary is supposed to be 50,000. Now give them 40,000. Pastor, you didn't know. No. I took away your giving. Compulsory. What kind of minister is that? What is that? No, I've taken away your giving. Don't worry. You don't need to give. I have given for your behalf. No. You are not rendering to them their due benevolence. You pay them. They are giving for you. You give it. Amen. Okay, follow me.
Yes, sir.
Pastor, our money is not from there. Yes. Don't, have you forgotten? I'm supposed to give for website. Don't you go there to download? Yeah, do it. Yeah. So I'm taking it away from your salary. Come on. You're supposed to enroll them for HMO. You say, no, we live in the miraculous. No HMO. We are living in the miraculous. You shouldn't do things like that. Hope you're following me. Yeah. I've been teaching you. Stay on the wall. You are not rendering to them their deeds. Oh, you are following me.
Amen.
Amen. So that means for Paul to have such instructions, it then means that they had relationship in natural affairs. Do you see that? So it would be unwise for a believer to say is you shouldn't do business with fellow believers. That's pathetic. That's very bad. You don't say that. Come and hear me. You don't say that. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say that. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Because why I'm not encouraging believers to defraud other believers. I'm not encouraging it. Especially when you are brothers. When you see yourself as brothers, you shouldn't defraud yourself. You don't take advantage of the fact that you are brethren in church. You know, okay, maybe it's not pastor and two brothers. And two brothers, maybe one is the cell leader, the other one is working assistant cell leader, they're working in the same place. And the assistant cell leader now happens to now be the boss of the cell leader. Or the member of the church now becomes the boss. Now, you look at the person. Now give your cell leader a query in the office. Query? What is query? And I look at that, there's no problem, I'll deal with it in church. Yeah. Or, you now find out that your cell leader is doing some things in office, the office that you're not really comfortable with. You now become the spy in the office, in church, as a pastor. There's something that brother Day is doing in the office that's wrong. Brother Day, no. Don't do that.
Amen.
Don't do that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, in as long as I'm not encouraging anybody to defraud others because you have brothers, and because you have brothers, you should know not to defraud each other. Why?
Yes.
Paul says in verse 7 of that chapter. Okay. Verse 7 of that chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. He said, why therefore? I said, now therefore. There's utterly a fault amongst you because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Do you see that? Why not say you shouldn't defraud or be the one that is at fault? So why there's a problem? Why not just, even if you're not the one at fault? No, okay. Let brotherly love continue. Don't worry. Let's settle it again. Amen. Let's settle it how? I'm making it. See. Most times, we don't know the effect of not settling things amicably until years have gone by. Yeah. Most times, you don't know. Maybe you don't know. You don't know. Look at the kind of fellowship this brother and you and Wisdom and some other people are having. Imagine during the days of Santos, you guys just tore yourself apart and say, we'll not go drink. I'm going to take this guy to court. You guys say, no, it's Wisdom will take to court. You just gather yourself. But who are they? What a pastor's ministry in court. The case between Pastor XYZ of Word in Father's Ministry versus BYY of Word in Father's Ministry versus SKY of Word in Father's Ministry. Your church, you have dragged yourself to court. You don't know the importance of settling things amicably until years have gone by. Yes. Amen. Sometimes it just means, see, let me tell you something, we'll go into business. Making loss is part of business.
People don't get it. When we now make noise, now get offended. Ah.
What I'll just say is error. Amen. Jeje, we just go. Jeje.
Just they go, Jeje. Amen. Come on, what kind of. You make laws.
But you know what? When you make laws, you shake yourself. So we'll do better business. We'll win this time.
Anybody who got angry because of business and because of that stopped coming to church, who is losing? It's not the person that's losing. Word of God is being taught. Men are receiving it and growing. Did you see that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So Paul would say, why not take wrong? Why not take the wrong? Why not?
Hallelujah.
And taking the wrong will be walking in the spirit. You see how one of walking in the spirit is?
You say I'm wrong.
That's what Paul said. Taking the wrong, allow yourself to be defrauded, you just walking in the spirit. Say, how? 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 But that's justice. Jesus gave us that example. You know when Jesus was standing before Pilate, he would have defended himself well. That, they will go and look for Judas anyways. Even if he has hanged himself, they will unhang him. Thank you. Hope you know that. He would have defended himself. That would say he opened not to him. He chose to be one. I, the king of the Jews, instead of himself. It was not proud of himself. Would you talk? Pilate would have met him. So, I have the power to free you. Just call the name of the person that betrayed you. And the one that denied you. Call their name. And we mess them up. How can you be free to continue being the king? Because Pilate doesn't even like the Pharisees. The chief priest was not even in good accord with them. So just tell me their name. I will end. If I don't go for them before morning, they will not even implicate that. I just need one person to mention that it was the high priest that connived. I will kill him tomorrow morning.
I will say, he said nothing.
Nothing. He said, like the sheep before the slaughter, and he opened not his mouth.
Hallelujah. Will end that for me? Just take the fall. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Like that old Women of Faith song, he said, like the rose, trembling on the ground, he took the fall and thought of me, I will go home.
Most times you just have to take. And I will be walking in the spirit. Walking in the spirit.
Amen. No, I must say my mind. In this matter, no, it's not limit, I will go down. At all. I'll drag the one third of the stars of heaven. We'll come down together. No. Amen. Mm-hmm. So taking the fourth most time will be what?
Will be what?
Walking in the spirit. Hallelujah.
Something else you can also do is in chapter 6 verse 1. Okay. We'll take that in the next section. Hallelujah. So
walking in the spirit will mean I'll have to take the fault at times. Okay, you hear me?
Yes.
I'll have to go back and take the fault. To look at it and take the fault. I will be walking in the spirit. Just so that there will be peace. Walking in the spirit is walking in your own. Walking in love. Towards the brethren. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Learn something?
Yes,
okay, we'll take